Hello and welcome to Pro You Podcast, episode number 351, Finding Purpose. I have, thank you, mic drop. I'm out. Tom was never heard of or seen again. That'd be a cool ending, but we're still alive. We're still moving forward, but that's where we are. And I'm getting a little bit more familiar sharing good news. It's definitely an unfamiliar thing. I was writing the introduction and, you know, it's like you're thinking and you're just writing and it comes out. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, I was always struggling. I was literally my entire life struggling, dealing, coping all the time. And then I start the podcast, same thing, you know, 5 years ago. I mean, I was alone, didn't have Zen. You know, I was just like, well, I've healed and I'll share how I healed. But there wasn't a bunch of joy and excitement and peace. There was a bunch of, you know, a lot of alone, quiet time of reflection. And that wasn't the fun kind. You know, this was before I went through a lot of stuff while healing. So now I'm like, wow, you know, I keep saying just, you know, March, my birthday. I mean, it was just 2020. Started out with the year 2020. I love even numbers, and 2020 was cool, but Zen turned 5. Podcast turned 5. That's 2 5s. I turned 55. That's 4 5s. D equals 20. And I'm like, going to be, and I just, March, I was like, it's the best month. It's a great, I mean, my birthday, I was just healthy. Zen was healthy. I'm like, and then, you know, what happens, happens. And it comes in, and here we are, April. And it's like, well, let's check in with Tom. How's Tom doing? Tom's doing a little bit better than he was doing in March. And he's, you know, talking to some clients who are saying, look, I know what's going on, but I know I'm responding way better than I would have in the past. So it's like, in a way, you're kind of going, look, I'm not happy for A, but man, I sure am happy that I'm feeling B. You know, again, phase 2, step 2, your response. Are you reacting or are you choosing how to respond? I just keep getting better at that and better at that and better at that. And I'm like, wow, I'm just peaceful. So then it's like, well, what can I do? Got rent. I don't really need any money. And it kind of came up a couple times where the situation fell right in my lap going, okay, you can ask for money or you can help this person. And both times I went, oh, I helped this person. And it was from a power, a place of strength, because both people were super close to me and they didn't expect it, didn't see it coming. And I was like, this is a compliment. This is the credit you've earned with me. And, you know, right now, I mean, I just don't. I got ran. I'm good. I'm not thinking any further than that. And it was just like, ugh. And I have this quote in the episode. And I say, you know, when you can stop thinking about yourself, you're healing. And when you can start thinking about others, you're on the right path. And when you can do for others, you've healed. And it was this month of, you know, it's like, again, if someone would have said January 2020, hey, you're all fired up on 2020, it's going to be a great year, but, you know, the money thing, I'm like, well, let's not talk about that. That's not great. It's like, well, just so you know, in May, you're going to be training people for free because you got rent and you're not tripping about money. Like, that's going to happen? Oh yeah, and there's a pandemic where it shuts down the country and most people are out of work and at home and frustrated and struggling and you're thriving. Like, what? It's January 2020. I'm pretty excited, but this is what's going to happen in April and this is how I'm going to feel and this is what's going to continue to happen throughout May and this is how I'm going to feel and then I'm going to have money and then I'm going to help people because I'm in a peaceful place. Finding purpose. Finding purpose. And it all kind of came together when I was reflecting on this and thinking about this, and that's what I didn't have as a child. not know who I was. I did not know who to go to, who to trust. I was afraid. How does a kid like that find purpose? You just want to know you're okay. You just want to know you're loved. You just want to know you're supported. You just want to know you're not bad all the time. It's kind of hard for a child to find joy and his purpose when he feels bad and afraid all the time. So here he is, 55, full of joy, overflowing. And this is stuff I've never ever felt before in my life. So here is finding purpose. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. And thank you, thank you, thank you for my inner circle, my tribe. And you know who you are. Enjoy. Hello, it's Tom. How are you? Fantastic to hear. Glad you are here. Thank you for listening. Got lots of notes, lots to chat about today. The funniest thing is, if there's one kind of recurring voice that kind of pops into my head, is that, you know, what if you don't have anything to say? You know, what if you, and then all of a sudden I look, I go, hey, I can do one more episode. And that's kind of like my little joke to myself. I got one more episode. Look at that. I can do one more. I got notes here. I can make one more. Probably not going to have anything next week. I think that's kind of funny. So I'm in a good place. And there was a quote, you know, if you took out fear and money, what would you do? And I didn't really think about that till I sat down to record. But, you know, March is a great month. I felt great. And then April happened and I was a little bit better. And then here it is May. I'm like, I was just a little bit better than in April. But there was kind of a shift. Like, there was just a real content, peaceful, like, okay, I did it. And it was, you know, I had rent, and I really didn't care about much after that. But where I went mentally, emotionally, spiritually was a really good place. And I found this kind of new, I don't know, level of joy, you know, through giving. And I've kind of had this quote in my mind for a bit. But I wrote down, you can talk about what you can't give, or just give what you can. And what I mean by that is, what you really have all the time to give to someone is your time and energy. Like, you'd be like, oh, you know, I want to help out my parents, I want to, you know, give them money, or I want to help so and so with, you know, it's always like, you know, money, it's got to be this big thing that you do, because, or else you really can't help someone. And it's like, well, you know, real help is felt when someone gives you their time and gives you their energy. And they're, again, just kind of going through that a little bit, you know, giving some time and giving my energy to some people. And it's a good place. And here's a quote that spawned from that. If you can stop thinking about you, you're healing. If you can start thinking about others, you're on the right path. If you can do for others, you've healed. And again, kind of where I'm feeling, kind of where I'm, you know, headed, you know, like I said, no idea what tomorrow will bring, but where I am is, there's a real peaceful kind of, I don't know, peaceful cloud floating over the canoe in the Zen pond. So once I decided, oh, okay, I'm just going to journal. I'm just going to walk the earth, have experiences, and share those experiences. The podcast just got really easy for me. And it was typically, you know, not the best stuff. But every time I'm like, hey, doing good, I'm like, you know, are you tooting your own horn? I mean, is that what you... And I always have that thing. Like, I don't want to sound like that. But it's like, I don't want to... You know, if I was journaling, this is what I would write. Hey, this happened. You know, toot my own horn in my journal if I'm the only one reading it. And this is my journal. It's just a verbal journal that's open to the public. So two people in 2 days during our 30-minute sessions online both said, you have a gift. Now, when I was talking to these two individuals, there was just that excitement because I hadn't spoken to either one of them in a little while. And as soon as they started talking, I was like, yep, I know what to say. And I could tell them what to think, what to focus on. And I could tell them how to feel. Like, I knew it. And it's fun for me to know that stuff and go, I like these people. I'm going to tell them exactly what to think, exactly how to feel, and they're going to feel better. But I didn't expect that comment. But it stuck with me because it was a big thing to me, you know. It was like, you know, again, just having that voice, you know, kind of, here's this little boy and here's your father that doesn't like you. Go live life. And then you fast forward, you know, kind of just finding my way, finding the truth in me. And, you know, have this clarity. I have this ability to help others and see things. And it's just like, wow, I used to feel like that. Now I feel like this. And I've always kind of used this analogy with everything, but I feel like this running back who's just like, I will run harder than anybody. I will do my best. Just, I got to find a team. You know, I got to, you know, where do I land? And then I start demonstrating my ability. And I feel like I hit that now. Like with my online people, they're like, yeah, you know, you just tell us what to do and we'll do it. And I'm like, thank you. I like that. And this is where it kind of transcended into this moment, talking about the Morrison family, because I'm teaching the whole family class on Mondays. And I watch them, and they're like, they're in sync, they all have good form, and, you know, 2 months ago, they weren't doing this. And Ben, the son, wasn't working out at all. And Mary, the little ball of energy, was, you know, she's a fabulous little dancer, but that's it. And now they're like doing all these different moves and core exercises, and they're doing them together, and they're breathing correctly. And it's just, and I said I wanted to have a little session chat with Ben because he was talking about working out, and, you know, so I, you know, sat down and Skyped with him and chatted with him, and I was just like, I'm the exact person these parents would want to be in their son's life. And I just knew it. And I was like, yeah, what's up with that, Tom? Like, why are you, you know, it's like inside, I was like, look, I am, if you had $1 million to spend on the best coach, teacher, big brother, any, I'm the guy. And I was like, why was that so... There's like a big celebration. There's like a big parade going on inside of me. And again, it's not this, you know, narcissistic, hey, look at me. It was like, I just, and that's when I started thinking about that purpose. I was like, I found a team. Like, they support me. They like me. They listen to me. They respect me. They don't take me for granted. They don't critique me. They don't judge me. And I'm like, okay, so you're just going to listen to me and you're going to do what I say? Fantastic. Let's ride this ride. And so when I had the class with the money, I explained that to Chris and Mandy, who, again, I've had, you know, they had their own episode. I talked about them a whole lot. And I said, it was just cool. Like, here I am going through life, and I'm not just blind. You know, I'm going, okay, wait a minute. I'm feeling that. I'm enjoying that. But why am I feeling that? And why am I enjoying that so much? And I was able to kind of break it down and go, see, here's the thing. I found a purpose because people are allowing me to. You know, I put out this quote about an old watch, and I may have mentioned this on a podcast already. It gets a little foggy sometimes. Like, did I say that online? Did I make that a quote? Did I say it on the podcast? But the son gets a watch from his father. His father says, you know, I guess he's dying is the story. He goes, you know, find out the value of that watch. Go to the watch shop, go to the shop, the watchmaker, and came back from both places. He's going to give you $5 for this watch. It was like over 200-year-old watch. But it was beat up and it was old. So he goes, okay, now I'll go take it to the museum. So he goes to the museum. The son comes back, says, Dad, they offered me $1 million. He goes, don't get angry if you go to the wrong place and they don't see your value. The right place will value your value. And those were the kind of things where it's like, you know, I kind of feel like I've been me my whole life, majority, but how people treated me and spoke to me was, you know, they weren't seeing my good. But it's like now people are like, wow, look at your good. You have a gift. And I'm like, yeah, kind of felt that way. And for whatever reason, you know, now it's coming out. And it was, it like, again, I love where I am in life. Like, I sat down one day and said, look, if I haven't looked at my storage in a year, I'm getting rid of everything. I came back home and I used that analogy again. If I haven't touched anything in my house in a year, I'm getting rid of it. And I was just getting, you know, books and photo albums and yearbooks and just stuff that I was just not going to carry around in a box the rest of my life. But I would start going, I like that. And I could tell I was healing and there was like closure, and I was looking at pictures and how scared I was and all the pictures. And I mean, all this stuff helped me. So it's like, okay, I'm going to do it. I got a gut reaction. I'm going to listen to my gut. I'm going to, you want to do that now? Okay, go there. You want to? So I was able to see it. And the more I healed in my 50s, the more I was just able to see and then make better decisions, even if they're, you know, hey, I'm not going to talk to my family or whatever. It was like, well, not comfortable, not familiar, not fun, but I know it's the right decision with clarity, like 100%. And that confidence, that comfortableness, and that conviction is what overrides it all. So I'm going, oh, see, this is what's happening right now. Is I got this 15-year-old kid that is just, you know, when you say jump, I'll say how high, not why. And I'm like, wow, and the family's like that. And I'm like, this is super cool. Like, and I'm like, oh, see, here's my purpose. I'm being me fully, like 100% of being me. And I'm at the right place, and they're valuing my value. And I was like, well, this is way better than what I had previously experienced. And I thought back, and what really always tripped me out, I was the oldest son, so I got the worst of my father. And then the next middle, my younger brother, he was, I don't know how to explain it, but he was a little wacko. He kind of got in my father's face and stuff. And he was like a smaller dude, but I think my father just got tired. Like, it wasn't working. Like me, I was afraid and timid and, you know, just shuddered. But my middle brother, he just was kind of nuts. So I think that would, you know, like I said, my father, I just think got tired. And then the youngest brother, you know, golden child, was born. And I saw my father change and I was happy. But the real kicker was, well, he was literally making a choice not to change with me at all. But what I thought about were people listening to me now. It's like, right, wrong, good, or bad. You know, when I was in that situation going, okay, there's no one between my father and I, and I got all his bad. At least I can be a buffer between him and my brothers. Like, I'll show them things. You know, I got them into martial arts. I got them into working out. My father didn't want me to work out or want me to join martial arts. So I'm like, well, I want you guys to try things and learn things and, you know, go out there and do different. You know, I mean, I was doing that. And then they visited me in Vegas. And they visited me in California. And I'm like, I never went anywhere when I was young. I never got to visit anybody. I never got to expand my horizon, see different cultures, different states. And I was like, well, look what I'm doing. What a good big brother. And my two younger brothers complained to me about me and what I wasn't doing. More than anybody. And that's what I did. Done. And, you know, lumped them in the whole clump of the family. Like, just never understood it. You know, even if I was flawed and imperfect, you could see my effort for trying to give my younger brother something that I never got. And for whatever reason, that effort failed miserably. And that's the joy now. And that's what was like the title, Finding the Purpose, Finding Your Purpose. You know, what is your purpose? Because all of a sudden you're like, oh, and this was kind of the chronological order. You have to find out who you are, and that takes a lot of time. Why? So you can find balance. Why? Because it's hard to be balanced, and you need to know how to really do that. That's what I want. So what? That's what I need. Okay. You know, you have to decipher all that with a clear mind. And then once you get to that point, then you're like, okay, now which direction do I want to go? What choices? You know, it becomes all about you. And if you can kind of click that, okay, I know who I am. I've achieved balance. Okay, this is my purpose. You know, it's like one day it was like dog owner. Like, I just was like, okay, here it is. You can whine, you can whatever you want to do, but you are a dog owner right now. And it was just this, that's my number one job. I love that dog. Yeah, that's my thing. I get him X amount of time. I don't know, but during that time, I'm going to be the best dog owner that I can. And that was kind of a purpose thing going, okay, well, you can feed yourself, clothe yourself, and feed Zen, and there you go. You're doing it. And there's, again, some sort of peace in that. But overall, having that life purpose, like, I was, like, trying to fix things. You know, I was trying to get water from rocks. I was trying to be okay around kryptonite. I was not searching for my purpose. I was not looking within. I was not working on me. I was not building myself up. I didn't know any of that stuff. And again, that's kind of like, you know, why are you having a podcast? Well, this stuff takes a really long time. So I'm just going to start telling people who are listening. This stuff takes a long time to even just look at and then to work on and spin, do it differently because you want different. And that's what I'm saying, you know, not having that buffer. I just walked around afraid. I wasn't looking for myself or for answers or for direction or for a purpose. I was just afraid. So I was at the beach, and it was a Saturday, and why that's significant is because Jim, my friend, would walk on Sundays, and all of a sudden I'm there, and I'm, you know, don't have my glasses on ever at the beach, but I can't see that far away, so I see someone coming, and I have no idea, and, you know, if they're walking towards me, and the sun's behind them, they're a silhouette anyways, and if they got a hat and sunglasses on, so there's no way. Well, this guy comes up, and he raises his hands, and I'm like, then I knew. I'm like, oh my God, Jim, and it was just cool, because I just felt this joy, like my heart, let's Jim, my friend Jim. And I didn't mention this to him, but I mentioned it on the podcast. Like, I quit shaking hands like 2 years ago, and it was just so good to see him. And he's like, my birthday, I'm 70. And I just reached out my hand and I shook his hand. I was like, pandemic, whatever, don't care. It was like in that moment. And I know he's a healthy guy and he knows I'm a healthy guy, but it just, I remember thinking, I go, wow, I haven't shook a hand. And I remember, and I was like, wow, that was a big deal. I just reached out and boom, shook his hand. But he said he's turning 70 and he's just full of life and he's just full of energy. And I was walking with Zen because I'd finished my piece. So I turned around, walked back with him and showed him the piece. And he was taking pictures and took a picture of Zen and I. Jim was the guy who says, I show the pictures of your art to my hospice group. And I went and spoke at the hospice group. And one of the people that I met there that night was named Lori. And she said, really, really good energy. And Jim mentions, he goes, Lori and I are dating. And it was like the coolest thing to hear because, you know, Jim lost his spouse over 2 years ago. And, you know, and I kind of said this to Jim. I go, you know, it's not in my belief that our significant others, when they leave, want us to be unhappy. They want us to be happy. You know what I mean? They want us to be around good people that make them feel good. It's like, you know, I died. You suffer the rest of your life. I don't think any person that passed on would be thinking or saying that. I said, you know, I bet your spouses are happy. And he laughed. He says, well, maybe. And it was just, but it was just like the light. Like he was still filled with joy and love of Brooke, of his wife that has passed. But it was like this little part of him said, you know what? I'm going to green light this part. And you live now. You go on. You're not jumping up and down because A is gone and B, A is gone. That's the fact. B is just you responding now. And it's just, like I said, to see him and to see his joy and to feel his joy. And here it was, you know, his birthday and he was turning 70. He's like, you know, 70 is a long time to be on this earth. And I thought about it. I go, it is, you know, congratulations, making it that long. You know, ending up in the state you are mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And now you have this little gift, you know. A person who's gone through exactly what you've gone through and will feel the exact things that you feel. And I mean, to me, it was a great story. It was just, I love when the good things happen to good people. So I was just really happy for Jim and Lori. And I left and I got home and I text Jim and I said, you know, can you text me your mailing address? Which I thought he would go, oh, Tom's going to probably send me a card late or something. I'm like in my head going, no, I'm going to drive there tomorrow morning. He said his birthday was tomorrow. So this is Saturday and it was going to be tomorrow. And I said, I'm going to get up. So I wasn't going to go to the beach on Sunday. I'm going to get up early. And it's like a 45-minute drive to Camarillo. And that's, you know, where the hospice was. So I knew he lived somewhere around there. And I hadn't been to his house before. So I'm just going to find something in my house for a gift, which I did. And I'm going to get Zen up in the morning, and we're just going to drive before there's any traffic, and I'm just going to drop that off if he's not home, because he said he had kind of a busy day, and then his daughters were coming over, and they were going to do a little party, you know, a little birthday thingy. And I go, that's it. I'll just, you know, because I knew it would be a nice drive, and it's early, so whatever. Well, I did it. I got there, and he was just leaving, but he was home. And he's like, come on in. I want to show you. I said, no, I just want to drop this off. He's like, no, come on in. I want to show you. And he was really, really persistent. So I go walking in. It was just, you know, just a beautifully, just well-kept house, just clean and reminding me of my parents. And walk into the bedroom, which reminded me of my parents. And he points to the dresser with the mirror in front of his bed. And there's all these framed pictures of his wife, Brooke. And in the middle is the piece I made with the stones and the wood and the candle. And I know people have mentioned that, you know, they got these shelves or the certain areas that are important to them where they put their favorite things. And, you know, I totally get that. And when I looked, I'm like, that's his important area. And my art piece that I gave him is there. It just, that filled me up. That touched me. It's like, well, I know he likes it if it's there with all of that. And he's like, look, here's a picture of Brooke and I in high school. And then we opened up his backyard, and it was so peaceful. And he's got this whole side of the hill. He's lived there for like 40 years, and they turned it into a little vineyard. And it was just like the nicest thing. And then he was super thankful that I stopped. And I just, you know, gave him the envelope, and I said, open this later, you know, when your, you know, daughters are here, whatever. And I drove away, and I just felt so good. Like, not, oh, look at me, what I did. And again, that's not what I'm saying. It's just that I knew I wanted to do that, and I did it. And it's like, I like that I wanted to, like, I like that I'm there. You know, that I'm in that place. It's just, I'm in a peaceful, giving mood. And it kind of transcended. And I thought, okay, if someone in January 2020 said, Tom, you know, you haven't been making money, you haven't been, you know, able to pay your bills every month, you've been, you know, dipping into your 401k, well, come May of 2020, you're going to be training people for free because you really don't need the money. I'd be like, what? What was that? I'm going to do what in May? And, you know, a couple things happened to a couple people. One was a client and one was a on and off client that I wasn't currently training, and went through some stuff. And this person reached out to me and said, can we chat? I did, and put the fire out. And I said, all right, let's just talk once a week. And they were like, look, you know, it's not a good time for money. I said, stop. I didn't say one thing about money. And they were like, okay. Like, they got it. They're like, I'm getting this from him. I'll take it. And I go, yeah, I'm giving this to you, so take it. And then deep inside, I was like, I like being here. You know, that not thinking about money. And it's not because I made $1 billion. I just got rent next month. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm at the beach. I'm peaceful. I'm at home. I'm at peace. There's just nothing. I was like, yeah, got a bill. Okay, I paid it. I'm like, it just took out any of the remaining residual white noise, I believe. And then a client I have who's fairly well off, just going through a thing, and he was going to cut down sessions. And I said, you just keep the two, pay that amount, and I'll train you both. You like them and going well? You like how you feel? Yep. I said, well, if any broke, let's don't fix it. And again, this person was crazy thankful. And they're like, and I said, you know, take it as, this is what I think of you. You know, this is how you've done me. That, like, this, it's like the mirror, like it comes back. You've done this for Tom, treated Tom this way. Situation happened. All right, here it comes. This is how I feel about you. And that's when I was like, okay, May was better than April. It's like, well, it's like there were no questions about what I was doing. Why can't I make money? And if I get a client, I better charge them money. Or it was just, there's no noise at all. It was talking to people, helping people, and then going, hey, I'm going to help you and don't worry about the money. Hey, I'm going to help you and don't worry about the money. I'm going to get in my car and drive for 2 hours and bring this guy a birthday gift. Like, I'm going, I love that stuff is happening. Why is that stuff happening? Because there's nothing else in my head. The thing about the Artist's Way is a book, and I mentioned it before, but it's a part of the book where it says, you know, write an hour every day or X amount of pages every day. Why? Just to get it out of your head. Once it's out of your head, there's empty space. And good thoughts, new thoughts, things come in. But if you sit there and going, here's a bad thought, here's a bad yesterday, here's a bad whatever, and you hold it in that, and you're occupying that space, there's no room for anything good or new to come in. And that's why I tell people, you know, speak to someone, friend, therapist, journal, write it down, get it out. And then it's like, oh. So to me, it's kind of like, well, there's a little, you know, natural yellow, white noise, whatever. And it's like, okay, that got quieter. It's like, well, what happens then? Well, you have really dope good thoughts. Really? Yeah. You start helping people and not needing money. And to me, you know, money's just a button. You know, it's just one of those stressors. And to be like, yeah, I got rent and I'm good and I don't really care, so I'll just train some people for free. I would have never thought that. January or ever. And again, come to my well, buy the water I sell. I didn't make this, you know, and I didn't say in January I wrote down, I'm as shocked as you are. But I'm like, I like it. Like, I like the results. And it's like, well, I like what I'm getting. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. What have I been doing? I've been doing little things consistently. And I say it all the time. That's how I got here. Episode 351. 55 years old. Talking, walking, sounding, being, doing like I am. It's like, so that's what I'm selling. It's exactly what I'm selling. Like, best I've ever been. Least I've ever had. And it was like, well, you know, not able to pay my monthly, you know, kind of expenses and going into the 401k, you know, retirement, and that's like this kind of stigma to it. And pretty soon I was like, whatever, I'm doing it. And then that was gone, so any fear I had about any of that stuff was gone. I was like, well, you're not afraid of the money stuff, all right, well, let's let him make money. Like, the universe is going, well, let's let him make money now. He's not tripping about it anymore. He doesn't care about going into his 401k. So it's like, well, now he has money, and now he's got money for rent, and now he's not really even trying to make money. He's just trying to help people. And if I died right now, and that was my last thought of me, or the last thought people had of me, dude, I'm good. And this quote hit me, just talking about that exact stuff. Your future self is watching. And that was maybe going to be the title at first. But I heard that one time and I loved it. Like, with one of my clients, I thought, okay, let's fast forward 5 years. And then I, you know, I'm thinking, oh, remember when so-and-so in May of 2020 hit that little thing financially? What did I do? Oh, I said, well, okay, cut them down to one session. I was like, really? That's what you did? Why? Dude, I was stressed about my... And I was like, no, that's a great client. He's a great person. Like, you got rent? Yep. Look what you did. You said, I'll just train you, you know, the next session for free. I was like, my future self would be going, thumbs up. That's a good call. Hey, that person called. They're tripping out, struggling. You said, hey, I'll talk to you once a week for free. That was a good call. Way to go, Tom. My future self is watching. And he's happy. So I suggest you do the same. I recommend a movie. And I don't really do that often. And I wasn't really into it when it first came out. Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers, because I saw the documentary on Mr. Rogers, so like I kind of know whatever. And that was it. I don't know what I looked at or saw about it. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to check it. I'm just going to watch it. And it starts, I got into the show called The Americans through a client told me. And the man, the husband, the father in The Americans is the journalist in the Mr. Rogers movie where Tom Hanks plays Mr. Rogers. And this is a true story, really kind of cynical journalist. Like, no one wants to get an interview from him, with him, and Mr. Roger picks him, and so he goes into it with this whole kind of yucky attitude, this guy's not for real. And I didn't know that. I thought this was just about Mr. Rogers, and it was literally about Mr. Rogers helping this guy. And at the very end, this guy turns in his article about Mr. Rogers, and it blows away everybody, and Mr. Rogers gets the cover. I forgot what magazine it was. But I had a certain image, you know, after the documentary of Mr. Rogers, but I've said this to two people. I think he's the best, most loving, caring human I've ever heard of. Or, you know, not that I was around him or met him or anything, but I mean, I obviously watched him and, you know, was, you know, alive as an adult to hear, you know, the documentary and the story like that. So it's like when I'm comparing like what I've heard about people or who I've known or what they've done, because it was just like this, like I don't remember how much he was into helping kids. Like the journals kind of brought up at one point, it's like, you know, you're talking about death and you're talking about these, you know, kind of dark subjects. And I go, Mr. Rogers? And it's like, when you think about the show and then they showed clips and they were doing it, it's like, I mean, he really was trying to help kids deal with things that were difficult to deal with. And I was like, I didn't know that. And I'm like, that's a pretty in-depth endeavor. And it was like, oh, he must have been this saint. And I was like, well, you discover he's not a perfect guy, and he admits that, but he's as close to perfect, I believe, because I want to affect people. I want to help people. That's who I am. So when I see someone affecting people and helping people, how he did it at the level that he did it, like they show one example, like they're filming the TV show and the journalist is there and Mr. Rogers is talking to this boy who I believe has Down syndrome, and he's with his parents and he's swinging this plastic like sword around, and the journalist goes to the women who are behind the camera. He's like, you know, what's going on? It's like, this has been going on for like 15 minutes and we just got to cut it. We got to stop it. You know, like Fred's waiting for this moment to happen and he won't rush the child. And everybody's like, look, time is money, you know, because they're on set shooting the thing. And they finally get this guy who always kind of interrupts and does stuff to kind of walk onto the set and walk towards Mr. Rogers and go, hey, time's up. And as the dude's walking, this little boy stops swinging the sword and gives Mr. Rogers a hug. And I was like, oh my God. Like, you're just like, your heartstrings are pulled. Like, his patience was, it was just, I cried like the entire movie, and I did not see that coming. And like the journalist once in a while would say something, you know, maybe a little, he's like, well, it must not have been easy for your kids growing up with you as a father. Not the best thing to say. And Mr. Rogers, played by Tom Hanks, would look at him. He's like, thank you for saying that. Thank you for, like, he always was thanking people. No matter what they said, it was like, thank you for noticing that. And it was just, it, I don't know, it just took me to a whole new level. And again, where I am in my life affects the choices I make. The choices I make affect, you know, things like what I watch. So I'm in this place of, wow, I'm in a good, placeful, kind of peaceful, placeful peace, peaceful place. And then I watch this movie. And so I got home and I sent someone a gift and I wrote a handwritten letter. And I wasn't thinking like, oh, this is exactly what Mr. Rogers, or it wasn't like that. It just, I didn't think about the movie. I just came home and I go, I'm going to send this. And I go, I'm going to write a letter. And I just got out a marker and I wrote it. I'm like, I'm not going to type it up. And I was like, I don't, I would just think now if you got a present that I sent and it was, you know, enclosed with a handwritten letter for me, I just think that'd be a cool thing to get. And I'm like, look what's coming out of me. You know, I talked about a fountain forever. You know, when that fountain is allowing that which lies within to flow freely out, that's a good fountain. Without judgment and critique, and am I throwing the water high enough, and where is it landing? Are people seeing it? Are they clapping? Is it, you know, now it's a very, very muddied, clouded fountain. But that's how I felt. Okay, if you have no fear, you like who you are, you don't have to think about money. And again, it's always about money and, oh, you have so much, or, oh, you're spending so much now. No, it's just taking it off the board completely. Like helping people for free, that's not coming out of my pocket. And the gifts that I've sent, these aren't, you know, big, big dollar items. It's just the thought. Like, why am I thinking about just giving, giving, giving? And then I stopped and I thought, hey, you know what you've been thinking about? You know what you've been doing? Why? And I stop and pause. Why am I? I'm like, I found a purpose. Why? Well, it's like people like the Morrisons and my online clients. And I start just, you know, like, oh, and there it is. Note, 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 note. And you put them all on my dry erase board. And I look at it and I'm like, well, look at that. 55 May 2020, Tom finding his purpose. Like, it's exactly what I would write in my journal. Which is exactly what I shared. And that's the cool, like, that kind of the Kool-Aid kicker I'm selling is that's what I want people to feel. Like, to get through a week or a month or a moment and go, wow, I liked me. Wow, I realized I did better. Hey, those are experiences I've never had before. I don't care what I don't have. Look what I do have. Look what my mindset is. Look at the choices I make. If you took out fear and money, who would you be? What choices would you make? Two more things. If you've been listening a long time, you heard the story about Idlewild. A friend kind of mentioned Idlewild to me, didn't know anything about it, went and saw it. It was like a little Tahoe, and I completely fell in love with it. I'd take Zen up there. You know, I stayed in a cabin a couple times, and I just loved it. And all of a sudden, this was, you know, 5-6 years ago, had all that money laying around, and I was like, well, I should buy land. And looked and found this spot. I don't know. It was a half acre, I think, or something like that. I can't even remember now. And it was on a pretty steep hill, but I didn't care. It was in Idlewild, in the back of it, where no one could build. There was the top of the hill. There's this big tree. And I'm like, well, that's where I'm going to hang out every day. And I was building my little tiny cabin in my head, because money's just going to keep coming after I buy this land. And then the homes around me were relatively close, and they had septic tanks. And then all of a sudden, my land got tested, and they couldn't put in septic tanks, so done. It just ended. And I was at the beach, and I was in a good mood and a good place, and I went, okay, not getting land. And I went, hey, there's a cool rock. And I remember that story completely. Don't dwell on it, nothing like that. It was just after probably 2-3 years, I started realizing I'm so thankful I didn't. Because if I had that land, maybe I'd be going there walking around on it. But it was probably right around the total of $18,000 that I was going to spend. And after I didn't and started kind of tapping into that money, I was like, wow, I'm so glad I have this money and not this land in Idlewild. Because I got to think, just deep down, there's always, oh, just to have land that you bought. You know, oh, I owe a couple acres here or whatever. It just sounded like a cool thing and I would like to. And I found a cool place and I could afford it. I was like, yay. You know, it was just, and then Hardwick's mom was helping me and she met the dude. She went there and she met the dude that owned the town. So I was like, this is like a magic carpet ride, like meant to be. And then just all of a sudden, brakes locked up and it was done and over with. And I was fine with it. And again, I loved that moment because I didn't trip. I wanted it. I was trying to buy it. I was like, okay, didn't happen. I just let it go. Now again, fast forward, I started going, wow, that was the greatest decision in my life because I started needing that money. Well, it was 2-3 days ago and I wrote down a note and I said that land was $18,000. I had $8,000 cash reserve that I spent and I took another 10 out of my 401k in the last 2-3 years. Almost the exact amount I would have spent on that land is the money that I've spent. Needed. I thought that was way trippy. All right, last point. Drum roll. This was just cool. I've mentioned my respect and admiration for Mr. Scott Mosier, one of my favorite people in the world. And he's one of my favorite clients. Like, I love training him. He's hardcore. And we chat, and I kill him, and he loves it. And we just gel. You know, it's just a great thing. And it's 2 days ago. You know, we're figuring out the time, and then we got on Skype, and we talked for like 20 minutes. And then we did the workout. And at the end of the workout, he goes, "Hey, well, I'm going to share my screen quick." I said, "Okay." So he starts pulling up these shots. Now, he wrote a movie that, you know, he will direct. And he just kind of at the point now finished, like, the writing. Like, he still might get a couple notes, but it's like, this is a big place to be, but yet it's, who knows, and especially with everything going on, when it would even start shooting. So it's early in the process, in a sense, but it was a big thing to go, wow, here's this script, and it's finished. And I can't, you know, we've been talking about this and that, but it was like, he starts going through act one, act two, act three with pictures and explaining the movie and the story to me. And he didn't prep it. Like, hey, I'm going to, he just said, hey, I'm going to share a screen. He just started showing. And I'm like, so it's, you know, there was no video. It was just stills, but it was amazing to see. And I'm like, who's seeing this outside of these producers and the, you know, the bigwigs, is, you know, like, that he's showing it to. And I'm like, it was getting like a sneak peek. And this is his baby. Like, this is his idea, his writing, his movie, you know, everything is his. And it's the first time. And he's the best he's ever been. And it was like, I get to be like a fly on the wall. Like, he's sharing this stuff with me. He's talking, you know, about this stuff with me. And I'm like, and I'm loving what he's showing me. And I can see his heart, and he's a dog owner. And there's this, you know, bond in the movie. And we start talking. And it was like 45 minutes. So I was like, it was almost like 2 hours that we were on Skype. And I got done, and I was like, that was one of the best things that I think ever happened in my life, because no one's seeing that, and no one's getting to hear it narrated by Mosher. You know what I mean? Unless he's kind of doing a very similar thing, pitching the movie, which, you know, dudes that don't know him or heard of him have heard, but I'm talking about just a regular civilian. And it, but again, I stop and I pause and I go, look what's happening in your life. Are you or are you not thankful? Yes, I am. This is the best month ever. I can't believe the good that I'm experiencing. Then I pump the brakes and go, wow, isn't it so cool that you can witness what you're going through and realize how thankful and blessed you are, and that you kind of feel kind of humbled in those moments? Like, you're like, wow, this is really the best time of my life. And you've been saying that since February and March 2020, and now it's going to be June. If you like what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing. If you don't like what you're getting, you got to do different if you want different. But it's not do it A today and you get it tomorrow. You got to start doing something, anything, and it gets to be little. Yay. But you got to do that consistently. Like, I believe it's a faith thing with me and the whole money thing. Like, I know when I work for money. I know when I pursue money. I mean, I know that. And just the last 2 years, I could just tell it, like, it was like, really? Like, that's what you think you need right now is money? Like, you have this lesson and this life lesson, and you feel like breadcrumbs that I always talk about. There were so many breadcrumbs. And now I'm like, oh, my God, I feel amazing. It's like, I said this before. I wrote it down. Go back 3 years. You're busy. You're making a bunch of money. Fast forward to today. What didn't you learn? What didn't you get because you were busy making money? So it was like, it was so easy. I mean, the list was endless of things that I've learned and gained by not being busy and not making a bunch of money. Still had money, never really had to worry about it. You know, it was like trippy spending my cash and trippy going into my 401k. But hey, you got money and you used it. So shut up. And now you're better because you weren't tripping about money and chasing money. And that to me is this thing where, I forget who said it. It was Jeremy Lin on his documentary. He said, I could not orchestrate nor design that. There's no way I could go back 5 years and go, okay, I got money now. It's going to be just enough to get me through it because I'm going to make money for another year. And then 2 or 3 years, I'm not going to make money and I'm going to be on a spiritual journey, but my faith will be tested and it will prove to be, you know, stronger than ever because in April when there's a pandemic, I'm going to get 2 new clients and make money and not worry about rent. And then I'll start doing free training. I wouldn't even have wrote that down. Be like, well, that's a little bit much. I don't think you needed that good, Tom. I definitely would not have written down it that well. But here it is happening. So I would journal exactly what I said. But I did say it live to you. And again, not to toot my own horn, but I'm going, if you can, again, not do what I did specifically, but find your way, find your pro-you path, that pro-you path of self-discovery. What are the things that you need to do? You know, 2, 3 things, little things that you need to do every day, 5 or 6 days a week that you can just start building that foundation on. Because that's what I feel like. I built the foundation forever, and now I'm starting to build on it, going, wow, I'm at this level now, and I got a strong foundation, and look at the good I'm experiencing. I mean, my time with Zen is like the best to me in the world. Like, if I'm with Zen, I'm like, I'm done. I'm happy. I don't need anything. But then I recognize a lot of this stuff is just like, it's like icy now. Like, oh, Mosher's gym closed. You're training Mosher. Oh, hey, Mosher's going to show you his movie. It's like, okay. Like, I love that stuff. Focus on that which you have. Be thankful for that which you have. Deem yourself worthy of just doing these little things. And they do make you feel good. They might be unfamiliar. They might be uncomfortable. But you'll be able to see the difference when you start deeming yourself worthy and you start making these choices and you go to bed feeling good and you wake up feeling good because the choices that you made were the best you could possibly make for you. There's a great quote. It says, anybody check on you today? Exactly. Keep focusing on yourself. I loved it because I really can't remember the last time someone called and said, hey, Tom, just wanted to check in, see how you're doing. Not that anyone needs to, but it's like, nah, yeah, you don't need to. I'm good. I'm focused on myself. I'm working on myself. No one needs to check in on me. That's what I would want for everybody. Get to that place where you're so good that no one needs to check on you. You are worth it. Hello, and welcome to your Pro You moment. I came up with that. I got that trademarked, copyright, Pro You. 5 years later, I still love how it sounds. It's simple. Pro you. I mean, there's a lot of gray there. Not pro you and them. Not pro you and me. Not pro you and anyone. Pro you. I put out a quote this week that said, who checked on you today? Exactly. Keep focusing on yourself. And I was like, oh, it's got chills. And I'm like, some people might think that's very selfish or cold. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you had to do a better you, and there's just no bad ever being a better you. Ever, ever, never, never. Let's grab some floor. Let's do that thing. Let's begin to control that which we can. Eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine. Let's draw that inhale through the nose, allow the exhale out the mouth. Slow it down, elongate them. Connect your mind to your body, keeping you present, distracting all else from entering the space between your ears. Anything enters calmly, quietly, ask it to leave, return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I'll let you know when time is up. You may begin now. There it is. Bravo, congratulations, well done. Little things done consistently. That's exactly how I got to episode 351. 5 years later, filled with joy, finding my purpose. The key to that little things done consistently is being thankful. It's not getting to the podcast. It's not getting to 55. It's not getting to anywhere. It's the journey, the walk, your path, each moment, each day, how you respond. the choices you make. Being pro you, deeming yourself worthy. Being thankful in all circumstances. Not being thankful for all circumstances. Finding one thing which is completely possible every day in lieu of what's happening anywhere around you to be thankful for. And focusing on that. Flame that fire. I only have one thing to be thankful for. Flame that fire. Watch it grow. Watch it roar. Watch you become engulfed by the purple haze of the purple fire, the purple thoughts. That which serves you, that's what you can control. That's what I'm sharing. That's what I'm selling. If ye cometh to thy well, peace and God bless.